A weblog by Sleeper, from www.aboveatopsecret.com. Highly recommended reading according to John Lear. John believes this story is true. A Day with an Extraterrestrial. The story that follows is written as a screenplay. The names are fiction, the rest is based on real events, believe it or not. Walking trail at local park, morning Mike, early 50s, married, with two adult children, one lives at home. Mike is in the real estate business, has his own office which he shares with a business partner. This morning he took the day off and went for a walk in the park. Mike is 15 minutes into his walk when another person comes up behind him and proceeds to pass him. Instead, the stranger slows down to the pace Mike is walking and introduces himself to Mike. His name is Milton. He talks to Mike as if they had been old friends. However, Mike has no clue who Milton is. Milton is an ordinary white male about 40 years old, full head of black hair, average build, about 5 feet 9 inches tall and dressed in a jogging suit. Milton: Hello Michael Vitaino Boldarini, remember me? Mike: Hi ... No I don't. Who are you and how do you know my full name? Mike is surprised and confused. Milton: I know a lot about you. I have known you since you were born. I'm not from Earth, I'm from another solar system in this galaxy. Mike thinking to himself, how foolish I must have looked to the few people I have told my experiences concerning UFOs. Mike is aware of UFO phenomena. He has experienced strange instances throughout his life, but he is not comfortable with that aspect of his past. Still, Mike viewed this man as a nut for suggesting he was from another star system. Overlooking the irony of that situation, Mike nevertheless has no interest in talking to this person and tries not to be rude, and looks for a way to get away from Milton. Mike: Good to have met you Milton, and we must talk again sometime, but I need to finish my walk and get back to my office. Have a good day. Having said that, Mike picked up his stride and started running, and after 5 or 6 minutes resumed walking again, believing that he had put some distance between him and Milton. But to Mike's horror, Milton had remained a few steps behind him. Milton: That's the Vitaino I remember, always trying to get away from me. Mike: What the hell does that mean? Question mark. Always trying to get away from whom? Who are you and why are you following me, sir? No answer. Mike was named Vitaino after his grandfather on his mother's side. He never used that name, nor heard anyone call him by it since he was a child. Mike is bewildered. Mike stops in his tracks and demands to know more about Milton. Milton ignores Mike's questions and keeps walking. The tables turn and now Mike is doing the chasing to keep up with Milton. Negation. Milton picks up his speed and jogs away from Mike. Mike is confused, a little irritated and full of questions he would like answers to. Milton continues to ignore Mike and doesn't slow down. Instead, Milton goes into a full run as if he had stolen a purse and was making his getaway. Mike's attempt to catch up with Milton is futile. Milton is incredibly agile and a fast runner. Mike was a regular at the park and became acquainted with some of the other walkers and joggers. Sometimes they talked about the weather or some sports figure, but never about space aliens. One of the men who knew Mike noticed that Mike was running after Milton and offered to assist. Man: WHO knew Mike. Mike: Is there a problem? Do you need help? Mike: Thanks, but there is nothing wrong. The man offers to call the police for Mike using his cell phone. Mike, understanding the absurdity of the situation, declines the help. The jogging trail stretched around the park and part of it winds through a forested area. Milton runs off the trail and disappears in the thick brush and trees. Mike quits running after Milton about 50 feet into the forested area, suspecting perhaps an ambush from the possibly unstable person that called himself Milton. Mike decided to forget the whole thing, cut short his walk and go home. As he turns to go back, he noticed something shimmering in the distance about 200 feet off the trail in the woods. Then Mike sees Milton standing next to what looks like a flying saucer. The craft is circular with a slight bulge on the top and flat on the bottom, no visible windows or doors. It looks metallic and pulsates with assorted colors. The ship hovers about 3 feet above the ground in a small clearing in the woods and is bathed by a shaft of glittering sunlight breaking through the treetops. Milton is waving for Mike to come over to him without speaking a word. There is no clear path to where Milton and the strange vehicle are located. Thick brush and trees cover much of the area off the trail. Mike has seen and been inside UFOs in the past, many years earlier, and had forgotten much of those experiences, having buried them in the back of his mind. Nevertheless, he had no desire to go anywhere near the space alien and his machine, yet he is intrigued by the sight of the ship. At that point Mike realizes he cannot move his feet and a feeling of despair grips him. All he wants at this point is to get away from that place but is paralyzed. Mike could move his head and looks around expecting and hoping to see other people on the normally busy trail, but he is alone. As he stands there frustrated and terrified, the invisible force that is holding him begins to pull him towards the ship. Milton speaking telepathically to Mike, "Do not resist, Michael, and this nightmare will soon pass." "Mike, God help me. Jesus Christ, what is happening to me?" Mike is yelling at the top of his voice but not making a sound. The trail, teeming with people moments earlier, mysteriously became devoid of people in that section of the park. Mike struggles with his emotions for what seems an eternity and moments before his lifeless body reaches the ship he passes out. Inside alien ship, morning, a bluish vapor illuminates the inside of the craft. A corridor wraps around the interior perimeter where portholes give a clear view of the outside, and a wall on the other side of the corridor conceals the interior of the craft. The windows are not discernible from the outside of the ship. There are no visible doors into the craft or into the interior from the corridor. There is no noise in the craft or hum from whatever powers it, no sound from the occupants Milton and Mike, and possibly others. Sound outside the craft does not penetrate into the ship. INT. Quarantine room inside alien ship. Continuous Mike is standing upright but not touching the floor. He remains unconscious and appears frozen with his arms at his sides as if he was standing at attention. The temperature in the room is cooler than the temperature in other parts of the ship, and vapor is coming from his mouth. Milton is not in the room with Mike. Mike is alone. No visible instruments or control panels in the room. The room is bright and the walls, ceiling and floor are white. From one of the walls emerges a small sphere-type object. It permeates through the wall but does not create or leave a hole. It floats around Mike's head and then it spirals down the rest of his body in a blink of an eye, neutralizing all bacteria as it scans. Mike remains unconscious and fully dressed in the clothing he had on that morning. The ball touches Mike's head and he spins like a top for a few seconds, and then his body moves to a horizontal position. He remains stiff as a board, his arms by his side, and he floats 2 feet above the floor. The ball exits the room in the manner that it entered, only this time through the floor. Milton, wake up, Michael. Milton telepathically talking to Mike from an unknown location on the ship. Mike, upon hearing Milton's command, instantly opens his eyes and is fully conscious. Mike, where am I? Milton, you are in my ship. Mike, why am I in your ship and why can't I move? Milton, you will regain your equilibrium shortly, once your brain makes the adjustments that were uploaded into it, which will allow you to move about the ship in what you would consider normal. In other words, you will be able to orient yourself to up, down and sideways, whereas no such thing exists in space or in the ship even while it remains inside Earth's atmosphere. Mike's body floats down and touches the floor. Mike jumps to his feet with incredible ease. Mike, are we in space? I feel no gravity pulling on my body and I have so much energy I think I could run a marathon. Mike speaks as if Milton is in the room with him. But Mike is alone in the room. Milton, the ship remains in the park at the same spot where I picked you up, Michael. Mike, how long have I been in the ship? My watch is not working and I assume it stopped when I entered the ship about 8:15 a.m. What time is it now? Milton, it's exactly 8:16 a.m. Mike, no way. I feel as if hours have passed. You must be incorrect, Milton. I never make mistakes. It's not even possible that I'm wrong. Only 1 minute has passed since I brought you into the ship and prepped you for a little trip. Mike, I don't want to go on a trip. Please let me out of here. Where is the door? Milton, there are no doors. You can only enter and leave a room if I allow it. Mike, fine. Can I please leave this ship? Will you allow me to leave this ship? Mike doesn't wait for a response and runs towards one of the walls, slamming his body against it. He bounces back and falls to the floor. He repeats the action several times before giving up. "Mike, this is insane," he yells, as he continues to look for signs of a possible door. "How did I get in here?" "Milton, I put you in there and you can only leave when I tell you that you can leave." "Don't get excited, Michael. You are not my prisoner and I have every intention of letting you out." "Walk forward and place your hand on the wall in front of you and then walk through the wall." "Mike, you are crazy. The walls are like solid rubber or something. Why don't you push a button or whatever it is you do and create a door for me?"
"Milton, we don't use buttons or switches or magic wands, although some of our stuff works like magic. Now do what I said and walk through the wall."
Mike places his hand on the wall and his hand goes right through it as if there was nothing there but a whiff of smoke, and Mike walks through the wall.
"Mike, wow. How did you do that?"
No answer from Milton. Dissolve to INT. Of corridor, continuous. Mike sees a row of windows that circle around the graft. He looks through them and can see the trees and parts of the walking trail. There are people on the trail but no one is aware of the craft sitting off in the woods.
"Mike, why can't anyone see the ship?"
"I did."
"Milton, I let you see the ship. It remains invisible to all unless I unlock it in the person's mind, as I did for you."
"Mike, lucky me." Sarcastically, Mike walks around the ship's corridor looking for openings or doors to the outside and finds none. He pries on one of the portholes with his car keys. Nothing. He pounds on the glass with his fist and even uses his head banging it against the glass, but nothing happened. He hit the glass as hard as he could and it didn't hurt him or the glass. The portholes are spaced about a foot apart and he goes up and down hitting the portholes with extreme frustration. Then one of them moves. He thinks perhaps he discovered a flaw and that one of the portholes is coming off its hinge or socket, so he pulled on it and smacked it with both fists, and then like a tidily wink the porthole sprang loose and landed in another spot. The hole from where it left fills instantly as if the skin of the ship is made of liquid crystal type material. And where the porthole landed, the liquid crystal is displaced and a view to the outside appears.
"Mike, this ship is fantastic. I can walk through walls and the windows can move to any location. I must have fallen on the trail and bumped my head. Am I dreaming, Milton?"
"Milton, you did not fall and bump your head, Michael. The inside of my ship is a representation of what life is like on other planets. What seems magical to you is common to many people in the galaxy. You are not dreaming."
"Mike, so you are people like us?"
"Milton, we are not quite like humans."
"Mike, why can't I see you, Milton? And was the form you had while on the walking trail not the real you, because you looked human to me?"
"Milton, you can see me if I choose to show myself. But what you will see when you do see me is only window dressing. You cannot see me as I really am. I'm not the average Joe."
Milton pops into the corridor out of thin air a few feet in front of Mike. Milton is short, about 3 feet tall, bulbous head, small holes for ears, large dark eyes, small nose and mouth. His skin color is a shade of blue with white iridescent splotches. There is a glow to him.
Milton only speaks telepathically and receives Mike's words directly from Mike's mind, telepathically, even though Mike speaks through his vocal cords and mouth. Because the mind is faster than the mouth, Milton knows what Mike is about to say before he says it.
"Mike, wow. You look freaky ... and passes out. He doesn't fall to the floor. Instead, he hangs suspended in midair like a puppet on strings.
Milton touches Mike's head at the temple and Mike regains semi-consciousness.
"Mike, Milton, you scared the crap out of me, and you still do. What have you done to my mind?
Everything is a blur." Feeling like he has been drugged, "Milton, Michael, you are not ready to see me in any other form than human form. Human brains are programmed that way by us. However, I will alter that program for today so that you can communicate with me without losing consciousness. Nevertheless, I will remain in the background and out of sight most of the time."
Milton vanishes and Mike regains his faculties and composure.
"Mike, why don't you appear to me in human form? Wouldn't that make things easier?"
"Milton, human bodies, and we use a modified version of the human body, are not comfortable and they also limit some of our abilities. The body I appeared in that freaked you out is designed for multiple uses, It's an extremely versatile machine, and suited well for our work in this solar system. Mike, that might me, but from my point of view, your appearance makes a great Halloween costume. Nervous laugh, Milton. I am not in a body at the moment, I am like a spirit. The body you saw me in that made you afraid provides a physical form we use while around other physical forms as yourself in our ships. Mike, how do you see me? Are you in the corridor with me now? Apprehensive Milton. No, I'm not there. I have a special place in the ship that I remain in while in spirit form, but I am cognitive of everything inside the ship as well as things outside of the ship. Mike, are you a god? Milton. Number Mike, how much time has passed since you disrupted my life and brought me here? Milton. 3 minutes. The time is 8:38 a.m. Mike, can you speed up the time and do whatever it is you have to do so that I can get out of here? Milton ignores the question and readies the ship for liftoff. Milton. I'm taking us up into Earth's stratosphere. If you wish to watch our ascent, go to one of the portals. Cut to EXT. Bird's eye view above the park, continuous. The ship shoots straight up at a phenomenal speed and vanishes from view. Dissolve to INT. Of corridor, continuous. Mike walks towards one of the portholes in time to see the trees and the park turn into specks, continents grow small and oceans enlarge, and the ship stops cold somewhere above Earth. He looks at the blue planet with its wisps of white clouds running across it, and nearly wets his pants from the awesome experience. Tears stream from his eyes and he becomes emotional. He attempts to speak but is choked up with joy. Mike walks around the ship, stopping briefly to catch a glimpse out of other portals, each harboring unique and spectacular views of the heavens. He sees the moon in a new light, from a new angle. Magnificent, he tells himself. He looks into the darkness of space, not so dark from up there. It's lit up like a Christmas tree with billions of glittering stars that comprise the Milky Way. He looks directly into the sun, showing no concern that his eyes might be damaged for doing so. He simply can't get enough of the view to satisfy his desire for more. The glare and the brightness of the sun are filtered out by the windows. Milton, have you seen enough, Michael? Should I return you to the park now? Mike, no. I don't want to return yet. Please. Let me see more. I want more. Milton, then you shall have more, but first you will need to explore things that are not locked away in your head. I will help you find what you need to know in order to continue this journey. Mike remains fixated on the marvels of space, intently looking out of one of the portholes, then an opening in the wall behind him draws his attention. Milton, walk through the opening, Michael. Mike reluctantly tears himself away from the window and walks into the opening. The opening closes behind him. Cut to INT. Hallway, continuous. Mike finds himself looking down an immense hallway stretching to infinity with doorways on both sides of the hall. First thing that came to Mike's mind is that he must have been put into a bigger ship. The second thing was, rat maze. Milton, you remain in the same ship, Mike, and you are not a rat, or are you? Mike, I don't know what I am, but I'm feeling very small now. Didn't you say there were no doorways on this ship? Milton, maybe I did, but I am allowed to change my ship if I feel the need. You are free to explore and ask as many questions as you wish, I might even answer some. Mike, please tell me that more than 10 minutes have passed since we left the park. Speaking sarcastically, Milton, 5 minutes have passed since I picked you up at the park. Mike, now that I'm having fun, is time going to speed up? Milton, time is an illusion, created during the Renaissance as a tool for the emerging maritime industry and later evolved into a punctuality issue. In space where we are now, there is no such thing as minutes and hours, which are simply division of one Earth day, which is a division of one Earth year. The 24-hour day has no meaning outside of Earth's surface. Milton tended to ramble on about things that Mike was not particularly interested in because they made absolutely no sense. The ship, however, had stirred every fiber in Mike's soul. Mike walks down the hallway, glancing at the doors. They looked real, and they had hinges and doorknobs. The walls, floor, ceiling, and the doors were all white. The atmosphere was bright, but there was no apparent source for the light. Mike, which door is the bathroom? Milton, no bathroom on this ship. If you should have a problem, there is a cleanup room you will be taken to by scary-looking androids. But those things usually only happen when people are first abducted and they lose control, like when you were a boy and picked up a turtle. Remember what happened? The turtle peed because it though you were going to eat it. Mike, I have never heard of a place that didn't have a bathroom. What do you do, Milton, when you have to go? Milton, I never have to go. The body I use when I use it is designed differently than human bodies. We don't consume food or drink as you do, unless we are in a human copy. But then we only eat and drink to blend in with those around us. We then can choose to use the facilities so as not to give ourselves away, or metabolize the food and drink completely, no waste. Mike, I guess that means that snack machines and me finding a kitchen with a refrigerator stuffed with food behind one of these doors is out of the question? Milton, are you hungry or thirsty, Mike? Mike, no. But what happens when I get hungry and or need a drink of water? Milton, we'll stop off at a fast food restaurant. I hear Earth has lots of them. However, you will not need to eat or drink during your stay in the ship. Your body uses the minimum of energy, less than when you are sleeping, and you already had your potty break when I appeared to you in my space alien uniform. You were like that turtle. Mike, I don't remember doing anything like that, and my clothes are dry and clean. Embarrassed, Milton, we have dry cleaners on the ship. They are open 24/7, and they are extremely efficient, don't you agree? After walking for a while, Mike picks a door and enters a room. Dissolve to, INT. A room, continuous. Mike walks into the room, lights are on. There is a single theater seat and what looks like a movie screen on the wall at the front of the room. It is the first seat he has seen on the ship. Mike is not tired and seems to have plenty of energy, so much so that he is reluctant to sit. He is aware that there is zero gravity in space, yet he walks as if he were back on Earth, no gravity shoes, everything is normal. He wonders if perhaps he is not in space and has only viewed a projection of his liftoff and the portals acting like television screens. Mike steps towards the seat, but before he can sit, a strange creature comes into the room holding a space suit and helmet. Milton, put on the space suit. Michael, you are about to go for a space walk. Mike, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. Is it dangerous? How do I know if I put the suit on correctly? I didn't mean to doubt that I was in space. I keep forgetting that you can hear all my thoughts. Shit. Milton, your little helper will make sure the suit is on correctly, and I think it's safe. I guess we will find out. Mike frantically puts on the suit and barely gets his helmet on when a hole opens in the room and the little helper shoves Mike out into space without a tether. Cut to, EXT. Outside of ship, continuous, Mike is screaming at the top of his voice as he precariously drifts off into space away from the ship. Mike, what the fuck? Milton, what are you doing? Is this for real? You are going to pick me up, right? Mike flails his arms in desperation as he spins slowly into the darkness of space, while the little android mockingly waves goodbye from the opening in the ship. Milton, relax, Michael. You are 100% safe. No one has ever been compromised on my watch. I'm giving you a few more moments out there to enjoy before I bring you in, so have fun. Mike is reassured by Milton's words and regains his composure. Mike thinking to himself, wow, this is all real. God, I feel like an idiot. Why did I panic? This is so fantastic. I'm suspended in space outside of an alien spaceship looking down on planet Earth. Why me? What have I done to be worthy of such a gift? Left to drift and savor his front seat view of space for 5 minutes, Mike is about 800 yards from the ship. He can hardly see the ship, and then it's right there next to him. The android reaches out and pulls Mike into the craft, the same room he pushed Mike out of. The android is 4.5 feet tall, slender like a stick man, made of white-colored material and strong as Hercules. The android has an oval head with no face. Mike is extremely uneasy around it. Cut to, INT. Media room, continuous. The android helps Mike remove his suit and then exits the room through the wall, taking the suit with him. Mike sits in the seat and the room turns dark and the screen lights up. Milton, would you like some popcorn and a soft drink, Michael? Never mind, only kidding. Mike, I'm not hungry, thirsty or tired. Why is that question mark? I don't get it. I completely exhausted myself flailing my arms like a madman during my space walk, yet I'm not sweaty or tired, nor do I crave a snack or drink. What gives, Milton?
Milton, like I said earlier, you are not using much, if any, energy. However, you did while you were out the panicking, but even at that your body didn't burn many calories. Sit back, relax and enjoy the movie, Michael.
The movie starts rolling. Mike is one of the characters on the screen. He is at the mall, the one that is nearest to his house, and it was just after Christmas, about 6 months ago.
Mike, I don't remember being at the mall nor that scene. Are you guys creating stuff?
Milton, no, some things have been blocked from your memory, for your protection and peace of mind. The on-screen Mike goes to a bookstore and heads to the discounted books section and peruses through the books. Mike loves to read about history and the people who make history. A woman intentionally bumps into him while he looks through the books, and excuses herself.
"Oh, pardon me," Mike smiles and nods. She then notices the book he was leafing through and makes a comment about it.
The ensuing conversation leads Mike to ask her if she would like to get coffee at one of the shops in the mall so that they could further explore their common interest in literature.
"Mike, my wife is not going to buy this and neither am I. Are you trying to blackmail me, Milton? Is that what this is all about?"
"Milton, do you always talk during movies, Michael? Anyway, you two had a legitimate encounter, strictly business of course." While chatting at the coffee shop, Mike learns that she has several books in her library at home that would interest him, should he wish to go to her house to see her collection. Startled by the bold invitation, Mike spills hot coffee on his trousers.
"Mike, that's absolute nonsense. I would never cheat on my wife."
Mike is in his early 50s, and carries his age well. The woman is early 40s but looks half his age, and could easily be a model at a top agency. They leave the mall together and end up taking her car, a ruby red Porsche 911 Carrera. Mike pinches himself to make sure he is not dreaming.
"Milton, you're dreaming. We threw the Porsche into the movie for effect. She actually rode with you in your car, but you do go to her apartment."
At her apartment, she offers Mike a drink. Mike accepts. She makes him a bourbon and coke. To Mike's surprise, she lied about her library. He didn't see a single book in her studio apartment, not even a bookshelf. She undressed in front of Mike while he sat on the sofa sipping his bourbon. Completely naked, she walks over to Mike, takes his drink out of his hand and leads him towards the bed. She undresses him and they make love. The screen goes blank and the room lights up. Mike sits on his theater seat shaking his head in disbelief.
"Mike, it never happened. For one, I would remember something like that, and second, I never cheated on my wife. End of story."
"Milton, it's true you didn't cheat. We know that." Mike is sitting in his seat when a naked woman, the same woman that was on the screen, entered the room. Mike nearly falls off his seat. The woman, "Hi Mike, are you up for another round of fun?" Mike stutters the words, "What the shit is going on?"
"The woman, make love to me, Michael. You know you want to."
A bed comes out of the wall. She goes to where Mike is sitting and takes him by the hand, leads him to the bed, removes his clothes, and they make love. Mike is no match for the gorgeous and seductive woman, and after she gets what she came for, she leaves. Mike remains on the bed with a puzzled look.
"Mike, that's it? Most women remain in bed and cuddle after sex unless they are hookers."
"Milton, is she a hooker? If so, what is her purpose?"
"Milton, she is not human, she is a sperm extractor. There are many ways to get sperm from donors as yourself, but this is the most effective way and the best way to retrieve semen. Extracting sperm without proper sexual arousal compromises the quality of the sperm."
"Mike, sperm donor? I never signed up to be a sperm donor. Why in hell do you want my sperm? And what about my rights? Don't I have any?"
"Milton, your body is a container for certain enzymes and other biological products, including sperm. We store and synthesize these items in your body and then extract them at certain intervals. The body you reside in, Michael, is a product of the sperm we extracted from another individual as yourself before you were born. Your body is a continuation of this type of container. In essence, your body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to us."
"Mike, so you only want me for my body? I'm going to have to chew on this for a while."
"Milton, we want you for your mind too.
Your emotions and other factors contribute to the process that binds and mixes these elements inside of you, like shaking a can of carbonated soda.